Wherever you are, whenever you are, if you're listening to this, you're listening to WROB, Random Radio. For the incurably curious, I'm your host, Rob Wickings. Hope you're well. I would like to introduce to you the next in our exclusive mixes, exclusive to WROB. You won't hear these anywhere else, from our good friend DJ Unknown. He'll be joining us following the mix, which we are going to be playing through in its entirety. Enjoy the next hour and 15 minutes, and we'll see you back afterwards, where DJ Unknown will share with us the history of this 2003 curated mix, and his thoughts on jazz. Please to enjoy. Thank you.
I've known lots of sorrow in my time. I've suffered great pain, my poor heart is often of a love that will last for all time. Yes, and I wonder, as I often wonder, how long will I wander this time? Times, my memory grows hazy and dim. Sometimes I can bring back the faces of the lovers now go. So I wonder, as I often wonder, how long will I wonder this time? How long, my Lord? How long?
must I wander?
Sunshine. not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live. Thank you.
champagne when I'm thirsty. Bring me a ripple when I want to get high.
Yeah, I want baby, she gone, she been gone tonight. I ain't seen my baby, sir, not a full head. One bourbon, one scotch, and one bill. And then I sit there, getting high, mellow, knocked out, feeling good. And by that time, I looked on the wall, at the old clock on the wall. By that time, it was 10:30 then. I looked down the bar at the bartender. Said, what do you want, Johnny? One bourbon, one scotch, and one bill. Well, my baby, she gone, she been gone tonight. I ain't seen my baby since night of Olay. I wanna get drunk, get her off of my mind. One bourbon, one scotch, one bill. And I sat there, getting high, stoned, knocked out. By that time, I looked on the wall at the old clock again. And by that time, it was 1:45. The last call for alcohol. I said, hey, Mr. Bartender, what do you want? Well, one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer.
Thank you. Jamaica, and the girls love me, and I shall never grow whole. So I say, Rough Rider.
WROB, never live, but always lively.
You're listening to WROB, Random Radio, for the incurably curious. I hope that you're enjoying this jazz mix brought to us as ever through this this quiet period in our lives by the inimitable DJ Unknown, who joins us now for a little bit of a chat. DJ Unknown, hello.
Nice.
Oh, I see you're in the mood now.
Jazz has a good mood to it, doesn't it, Rob?
It certainly does, and this is a real feel-good mix. So, do you want to talk us through the history and creation of this particular mix?
Yeah, so, as I've said previously, this mix was done in 2003, 21st of March, I think it was dated, wasn't it, Rob? I think that's what, because I uploaded it to YouTube yesterday. But yeah, it was basically done, as I already said to you, it was done, recorded straight to mini disc from live mixing from two SL1210s and a mixer. And even if I do say so myself, when I was listening back through to it yesterday, checking the transitions, there's one transition that's, it's not great really, but I kind of, it goes into Legal Man by, Legal Man is by Rob Pop Quiz. Legal Man is not really a jazz track, and it is by, oh God, you like them, and they are called, it'll come to me, they are called, who did Arab Strap? Boy with the Arab Strap.
Oh, Bell and Sebastian.
Yeah, it's a Bell and Sebastian track. So,
wow, okay.
So, yeah, I can't, at the moment, I'd have to check. I can't remember what it goes to that. And yesterday when in Final Cut, I just kind of tried to sort of soften that transition a bit. But, you know, as I said, for some people, Rob, they might be just like, no, okay, that works all right. That's, as I was saying earlier, that's like, okay, he's just gone off in a bit of a different direction quite suddenly, but it didn't feel too jarring. But you know, it's, but yeah, so that That mix begins with a track from Bitches Brew, which is about 13 minutes long, and then I'm pretty sure it goes into a track by Sun Ra from the heliocentric Worlds of Sun Ra.
Wow.
And then it finishes. It finishes with The Sexiest Man in Jamaica by Mint Royale. So, and there's some Muddy Waters in there as well. So it's predominantly a jazz mix. I just for some reason decided to drop in, you know, bits of blues and like that Bell and Sebastian track and the kind of the Mint Royale track or Mint Royale track. It's like a jokey way to end the mix. It's just like, right, we've had this jazz mix, so then let's kind of, as I've said, like, let's just rip the needle across the record, right? And go off, because I think I attempted to do a rewind on the record. So it's like, rewind it and bang, we're now gone off on some, you know, we've gone off to another musical world, haven't we? They're not immediately related, are they? Jazz and Mint Royale.
But, you know, going off on different tangents and things like that is very much part of what jazz is about. It's about that sort of experimentation and about finding new horizons in music, which is part of the joy of jazz, personally, I think. Anyway, it's DJ Unknown. Is jazz a genre you've always enjoyed, or is it one that you've grown to enjoy?
Well, I think, as I may have said to you before, I think one of the earliest ways I got introduced to jazz was through my father. There was, as you know, as I've re-looked at recently, my father was a television director, and the first thing that he directed for the BBC, may well have been BBC Two, is about some guys who are in a jazz band. And this drama was made in 1978, and there is jazz and there is a shot of Ronnie Scott's. So that may be the first time I heard jazz. I would have been six.
Wow.
And then those MCA Impulse jazz records that, you know, I've got, Rob, that I was given them by my stepmother, who worked for MCA, and my father said to me, yeah, you might not like these jazz records now, but just take you, they're free, just take them, you know, that, and that's one of the most well-known jazz records that's in that lot is Love Supreme by John Coltrane, and then there's like a Art Blakey album, and there's Charlie Mingus, and yeah, there was Rob Unknown. There's like 10 jazz albums, and I got those at what age? I don't know. It's hard for me to say exactly now, but what, 18 or 19? So, but again, and I think around that time, around that age, I believe I was definitely listening to, because my dad was playing it when we were eating dinner and stuff, you know. This is what I always say. I know jazz. Some people are just like, I don't like jazz. I'm like, I don't think you can just say, oh, I don't like jazz. It's like, it's not, you know, it's not quite as simple as that. And I'm not saying you have to like it as much as I do, but I would argue, come on, most people are not going to find Miles Davis's Kind of Blue that difficult or annoying and stuff like that, you know. So that's, and that Rob, around that, at that time, as I say, when I was 18 or 19, I listened to Miles Davis's Kind of Blue with my dad, and that album surely must have got loads of people into jazz, mustn't it? Or if they say I'm not particularly into jazz, they'll go, but I've got a copy of Miles Davis's Kind of Blue because it's a pretty safe one to put on the background when you're having dinner and all that. It's one of the most well-known jazz albums ever, and always will be, won't it? You know.
No, absolutely. speaking personally, I've found that I've actually got more into jazz as time's gone on. I mean, you've helped me a little bit, dropping odd little bits and pieces, odd bits of Sun Ra and obviously Miles Davis, and even trying to get me to listen to Interstellar Space by John Coltrane, which that's a bit more of a tricky one. But no, I think over jazz is something that you can grow into, definitely, and get more of an affinity of over time. But it sounds to me like that drop of MCA Impulse records that you got at 18, 19 were a fairly solid education in all kind of schools of jazz, which leads me on to my next question. Do you have a particular favorite in terms of subgenres? And if you do, do you think that affinity is reflected in the mix? I mean, I know it's a very varied mix that you've presented to us, but do you skew a certain way when it comes to, say, bebop versus, say, swing or anything like that?
I think, I don't know, Rob. The subgenre thing. It's like I know that I like, if we're able to categorize, I like a lot of jazz. That what you just, how do you characterize it? It's just jazz. It's kind of blue. It is interstellar space. It is trying to think of other things that are along the lines of kind of blue, that, you know, melodic, basically, because I understand completely why some people are like, there's no melody in jazz. It's really difficult to find my way into the music because there isn't melody. But I reckon, Rob, you know, I can pull out Tubby Hayes. I mean, Tubby Hayes is Mexican Green. Yeah, Tubby Hayes is Mexican Green. There are plenty of jazz albums that are just melodic and yeah, you could say they maybe don't do a lot. Some of you might go, they don't do a lot. I go, yeah, but it's just kind of fairly easy to listen to, isn't it? It's just like, you know, and Duke Ellington's collages. That's it. That's another one that Rob, it's from 73. And there's a track called Aurora Borealis, and basically whichever way round it is, Star Trek is sounding like that, or the other way around. You know, it's so, yeah, so that is, yeah, you know, that's a beauty. It's a refrain, isn't it? That's what you call it. It's a refrain. And I mean, come on, Herbie Hancock. I mean, Jesus. How can you? Some of his stuff is just—it's fantastic. It's, you know, Headhunters, yeah, maybe a little bit hard-edged, but basically pretty damn accessible, really, I think. And there's another Miles Davis album called Sorcerer. Like we were saying, Rob, about there's endless amounts of records to purchase, as in the broad spectrum of there's so many records that have been released. I mean, the world of jazz, you might even struggle to buy every jazz record that's ever been released.
That's a fair comment, actually. It's such a broad church, I think. I mean, just listening to what you've been saying there, you mentioned like everything from Ellington to Davis to Tubby Hayes, who I'm, as an artist, I'm not familiar with, but I'll certainly go off and explore him now. It is the broadest of broad churches. And I think for anyone to say, I don't like jazz, is almost the same as people saying, I don't like blues. Yes, you do. Because they're both kind of, they're almost like the spine through which all popular music is built on. I think it's the foundation.
And I think the latest Orb album has got, there's little parts of it that sound a bit jazz. So, you know, in some ways it's most probably, most people are maybe saying it jokingly. It's like, because it's like, it's like if you say, oh, I don't like jazz, it's like, well, but you tell me that you like music. So in some ways you're saying you don't like jazz. You're actually saying, well, I don't like music. It's like, well, you know, you can't. Yeah. Like you've just said, Rob, it's like, you can't really sort of suggest you've got an interest in music and then go, but I don't like jazz. Because Rob, as you've said, it informs so much of modern music, of music that happened, you know, because as we know, a lot of jazz happened in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, didn't it? You know, Miles Davis's. So it's definitely
a formative time for it. But, you know, there's all sorts of arguments that it's got. It's still a living, breathing and vibrant thing. So that's important to note down as well. You know, jazz keeps going the same way that blues keeps going. You know, people can say, oh, well, jazz just sounds like this, blues just sounds like that. And I fundamentally disagree with that. Within that kind of framework that the two genres have, there's room to go pretty much anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, and it's things like, yeah, I would have loved to have seen Miles Davis or John Coltrane play live, but that's not going to be possible. So, yeah, there's a Scotsman called Tommy Smith who plays the saxophone, and I went to see him because he was playing Coltrane. And it's like, so there you go. That's if you like Coltrane, that's going to be as close as you can get to pretty much seeing Coltrane live. And yeah, and it was, I enjoyed that. He was fulfilling all those jazz. The word cliche is all right, isn't it? You know, they were nicely suited. I liked the way Tommy Smith, he was playing, I think there may have been four of them on stage, and at times he would go off and then he would re-enter playing the saxophone, you know. So it's like, you know, so that's jazz, isn't it? You know, it's just like any form of music, and like music in general, if you've decided that it interests you, then yeah, you can spend your life, part of your life. You can constantly nose round the world of jazz and find something every now and again. You're like, oh, I didn't know about that, and I really like this, and you know, and then yeah, it's and that's, you're able to do that through digging up another album or another artist, or you watch a documentary, or you read a book, or Rob, as I just said, you listen to somebody, an artist that you, or a group you like a lot, like The Orb, and you kind of go, hang on a second, I can hear a bit of jazz influence on this band that are known for being ambient house pioneers.
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to step back ever so slightly, because I'm glad you started mentioning Tommy Smith, who you saw play live, and the fact that you wouldn't get a chance to see Miles Davis, John Coltrane live. Do you think... And I know there's no right or wrong answer to this. Do you think that jazz is better live versus recorded? Is recorded better than live? Is live better than recorded? Or do you think they're just two completely different things?
Yeah, they're both can be very pleasing. Like we've referred to them, and it maybe is just always helpful for everyone, because it is very accessible. You know, I mean, you know, listening to Kind of Blue, whether it's off a vinyl copy or a CD copy on a system that sounds all right, I mean, or sounds good, you know, that is always going to be pleasing, isn't it? I mean, that's always going to be an enjoyable thing to do. And so yeah, and yeah, Rob, I'm not, you know, I have more experience of listening to recorded jazz, I have listened to recorded jazz from a studio environment rather than live. There, you know, I bought a Tubby Hayes live album a couple of weeks ago, and that's a nice sounding live album, but in general, I've got more experience of just listening to recorded jazz. And yeah, and Rob, just, you know, if anyone's interested, there is a very good series of CDs called Jazz in Paris that's, I think, released by Universal. And I think they are still, I think they're still made new, because as we know that physical media is kind of, at times, sort of seems like it's being phased out a bit. But this compilation series, which in total is about, I think it's about 70 or 80 CDs.
Wow. You know,
that is, you know, when you find out about that series, that will introduce that, you know, there are some big names on there. There's Louis Armstrong and stuff. But then, Rob, you know, I'll go and pull a couple of them down. And, you know, these are no doubt not massively well, you know, well, in the jazz world, they'll be known. But, you know, there's an album by Don Byas called Laura. And then there's Bobby Jasper. So this series is documenting a certain part of jazz history in Paris and a lot of these two here. Let me just get in some light. The Bobby Jasper one is 1956, and the Don Byas one is 1950 and 51 and 52. Mm-hmm. So I would strongly recommend, like, anyone going, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed with how do I get into jazz and stuff. Well, if you find this Jazz in Paris CD collection, you can look at each one of those discs and kind of go, all right, I'll get that one, or I'll get this one, and I'll try. So that's Universal making jazz accessible, isn't it? Really, or as accessible as you can, as anyone can. So yeah, that is a strong recommendation for me, because it'll be that series of CDs. Sorry, I'm moving away from the microphone.
It's all right. We can still hear you.
That's what I'm trying to say. That series of CDs has served as part of my jazz education, hasn't it? And continues to, because I've not got all of them.
It's a quest that continues.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, things like that make it easy, because they're packaged very easily, aren't they? And those CDs, they don't cost a lot if you want to buy them. They're like £6 or £7 each. So, you know, they're good. They are very, very good.
Sounds great. That sounds like a key recommendation to me.
And then to jump in as well, obviously, Blue Note. you just go and look at Blue Note and another huge part of the jazz world, you know, opens, you know, is presented to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Verve and people like that as well. I mean, it's very much a, you can track through various different record labels that have very influential moments to them and very influential eras. But yeah, I mean, what you've mentioned there sounds like fantastic recommendations to me. So, I urge you, listenership, to give a bit of jazz a go. And, you know, if you want, use this mix. And the next one, as I know, DJ Unknown, you are looking at putting together a second jazz mix for us fairly soon, I believe.
Yeah, it's very likely. It may even happen tomorrow. And as I've already talked about, the hum on my newly purchased secondhand SL-1210, yeah, is a mere blip on the landscape of anyone's home DJ setup, but I am still, my kit is still basically, I think, functioning enough that I will record from one turntable to cassette, and it will be a 90-minute mix of jazz. And Rob, yeah, as you try to do as well, I'll because I will have just re-looked at the old 2003 mix, I will aim to not, it would only be by accident that I would put a track that's on the 2003 mix on this new mix. I'll aim to put, you know, stuff that's not on that 2003 mix, because I'm sure that jazz mix from 2003, that may be that's not quite the only other jazz mix I've done. There's that other one I mentioned to you that I captured off mini disc, but it's a bit more bossa novery, wasn't it? Basically, I've not done, all I'm trying to say, I've not done loads and loads of jazz mixes. So that's, you know, on your recommendation, it's like, yeah, it makes sense to kind of, to do another jazz mix. Cause there's not been many done.
So. Indeed. Okay. With that, it remains just for me to once again, for his takeover of WROB over this interesting time, DJ Unknown. Cheers. Thanks a lot, mate.
That's fine.
Hope you enjoy what's coming up here on WROB, Random Jazzy Radio for the Incurably Curious.
WROB.